Welcome to Asimov's Spotlight. Here now, another story selected from the pages of Asimov's science fiction magazine.
Teresa moved into her new smart home with healthy skepticism. Here was a house with everything she could ever need or want, and more, for an affordable price on her nail stylist's salary. To her, the artificial intelligence inside was little more than a shiny gimmick, but one she'd gladly deal with to give her daughter Naya a better life. There had to be a catch. Teresa's misgivings begin to fade with the smart home's increasingly thoughtful gestures. But is their new home getting to know Naya a little too well? Here is Jen Dye Brooks Flemister reading her story, Welcome Home.
Teresa found herself, yet again, sitting in her O2 Altima, hopelessly scrolling through social media on her lunch break. It was the only solution she could find after weeks of anxiety so awful she'd barely been sleeping at night. Yesterday, while fixing up a client's gel manicure, Teresa received a second phone call from CPS, telling her that as soon as her lease was up, she needed to have a new place to live, or they'd be taking Naya from her. She hadn't gotten a call like that since Naya was a toddler. But now, her lease was up, and most housing in the greater Atlanta area would only take tenants with income at least 3 times the rent. Teresa knew it was impossible, that even if she could take 20 clients a day, the odds of approval were too slim. Not that the woman on the phone cared about that. They were ready to throw Naya into foster care as soon as Teresa technically became homeless. She knew they didn't actually care about Naya. All the government ever wanted to do was punish people doing their best to reform their lives. This was the third lunch break in a row this week that Teresa had dedicated to social media scrolling. Not mindlessly, however. She was searching for some random housing listing that would give her the salvation she needed. Craigslist and the like had proven futile after hours of filtering through spam and repeat ads for homes she'd already underqualified for. There were only so many new listings a week, and so few of them provided items like a microwave or even ensured that all the doorknobs worked. The lunch break searches were not only fruitless, but they were eating into her tech time, which was eating into her finances more than trying to raise a child already did. The exhausting cycle, the need to protect her daughter, and the looming threat of slipping back into homelessness again, it was all too much. Teresa popped open her glove compartment and grabbed one of the folded brown napkins she hoarded within, dabbing it delicately along the crevices of her eyes to preserve what little bit of sanity she could present. Nearly forgetting to actually eat something for lunch, Teresa whipped out a semi-crushed peanut butter and jelly sandwich from her black pocketbook. It was technically Naya's, but the fickle 8-year-old had refused to take it for lunch today because it had been crushed by an apple when Teresa packed her lunchbox. She unwrapped the sandwich, looking at the edges of the paper where the peanut butter had gushed out. Right as she attempted to close out of Facebook, her thumb's automatic scrolling paused in time to see a new sponsored housing ad with the tagline, "Housing the Future, Smarter." Teresa clicked the ad, which redirected her to a webpage that showed her the exact type of housing she'd expected. Nice dark floors, upgraded kitchen appliances, and technology throughout. Quaint gray and white paint on the outside, and the house was surrounded by duplicate homes that gave her white suburbia vibes. Too much for her, too fancy for her, too unaffordable for her. The taglines throughout the website promised comfortable living for all and the start of the Smart Home Initiative. She scrolled through the website and settled on the application page. Her heart skipped a beat. The housing development promised consideration to those making well within her income level. Upon further inspection, the application itself wasn't too complicated. In fact, it was simple enough to do on her phone in the nail salon's parking lot with the 5 minutes of lunch break she had left. God, might as well, Teresa whispered to herself. She took a swig from her water bottle to clear her throat, wiped her fingers with the same napkin she'd reached for earlier, and set to work filling out the application. The final box, full of trinkets and art supplies, landed with a metallic thud next to the couch in Teresa's new living room. Though it wasn't small, the living room felt overcrowded with stacks of cartons filled with old dishes and the tubs filled with well-worn clothes. She'd had to move it all herself, but that was nothing new. She was more than used to doing things on her own, buying her car, raising Naya, maintaining sobriety. And now, Teresa could add renting a house, her first house, to that list. It was just a little over 1,000 square feet, with two good-sized bedrooms and a bathroom for Teresa and Naya to share. What the house lacked in storage space, it made up for in appliances. True to the ad, everything powered by electricity in the house felt brand new, almost unimaginable were she not able to see it herself. It reminded her of the feeling she got when her clients read Forbes while she scrubbed away at their heels with a pumice stone. Foreign, yet so luxurious. The appliances were one thing, but there was also a built-in virtual assistant AI that communicated through the speakers embedded in the ceilings of each room. The voice, neutral in tone and gender, had welcomed them to their home when they first opened the door. Teresa knew it was a feature of the home, and something that wealthier people generally had access to, but the AI was still exciting to have for herself. After another hour of relocating boxes to her bedroom, Teresa poked her head into Naya's room. Her daughter had been giggling nonstop, likely playing with toys as she unpacked. Naya lay in the center of the room on her back, arms and legs spread wide as she stared up at the ceiling. She didn't have any toys in her hands, but she had undone her right purple bobble hair tie, which left her thick hair poofed and uneven on one side. Teresa laughed, sitting down next to her daughter. "What are you doing, baby girl?" Naya showed her mother the bobble hair tie in her right hand, then pointed up at the ceiling. "I was asking Home if it could guess what color my hair tie was, and it did. Home's so smart, Mommy." Teresa grabbed the bobble hair tie and pulled Naya into her lap to redo her hair. "Yes, but you can't go bothering Home all the time, okay? Smart homes need rest too." "Home said hi to me first." "You heard me. There's still a lot of unpacking to do. Don't go talking to Home all night and day." "Okay," Naya sighed, exaggerating it so that it echoed throughout the house. Teresa left her daughter to unpack her clothes. In a way, she'd lied to Naya. Home didn't need to rest. The lease paperwork had explained a lot of how things worked in complicated scientific jargon that Teresa struggled to fully understand, but she got the gist of it. The AI, apparently now named Home by Naya, would always be passively active and ready for use. It had the ability to do things like order food and groceries, call 911, and so much more. But best of all, it was included in the housing price, which Teresa still found hard to believe. She'd never had an induction stove or a refrigerator she could tap with two fingers to make the door transparent. Hell, she'd never had a dishwasher before. Yet here she was, doing her best for herself and Naya. They had an affordable home in what the application and lease had called a smart home initiative complex. But most importantly, they had each other. Knowing she'd been able to successfully keep Naya out of the system made the stress of moving, learning new technology, and learning a new neighborhood well worth it. "Home, set the oven to 400 degrees and start boiling the pot of water on the stove." Without pause, the neutral voice centered itself in the kitchen with Teresa and responded, "Understood." Teresa never could have predicted just how useful having a home AI would be. It wasn't an overnight adjustment. In fact, Teresa had actively fought against Home during the first couple of weeks. She was determined to settle into her own routine in her own way, and that meant cooking the foods she and Naya liked and doing things around the house like normal. At least, what Teresa considered normal before moving into the smart home. But circumstances had shifted last week. Naya had been incessantly crying before school because she'd lost her lucky quarter. Teresa had tried giving Naya a different quarter, but the new one didn't make the cut. Right as Naya was going to be late for school, the girl had cried out, "Home! Where's my lucky quarter?" At the time, Teresa hadn't known what to expect. However, when Home pinpointed the quarter underneath the dryer, Teresa realized that the AI really was handy. Since then, she'd made a concerted effort to at least try to use Home more. And so far, she liked the results. Once Teresa made herself comfortable with little things like turning lights and appliances off with Home, she wanted to know a bit more about some of the features she'd heard about. After dinner, Therese stood in the center of the kitchen. Though she couldn't place why, she felt uneasy, as if she were supposed to be doing something, worried about something, aware of something. She could hear Naya playing in the bathtub, which put a brief smile on her face. That child, no matter where she was, always kept herself entertained. Soon she'd need winter clothes, especially a coat after outgrowing the last one. With the extra money saved now that Teresa was more consistently taking clients, she knew she could get some nice things for both of them and the house. "Home, I want to buy some groceries," Teresa nearly shouted. "Of course. Please list out the things you would like me to purchase from the smart store for you." Teresa vaguely remembered the concept of the smart store from the lease. It, like the smart home and the complex and all of the technology, was connected to one massive tech company that had been booming in the past decade. Smart Store was supposed to be the grocery chain attached to the company, or something like that. Teresa hadn't needed or wanted to buy anything new until now, but she couldn't avoid it forever, especially since working from 8 to 7 at the salon made it impossible to go shopping herself. A carton of brown eggs, a gallon of milk, some frozen broccoli, macaroni noodles, and some chicken thighs, Teresa said. "You are also running low on cheddar cheese, mushrooms, and wheat bread. Shall I add those for you?" Teresa paused, surprised at Holmes' ability to list what she needed before she could search the cabinets herself. Yes, please. And add apples. I want to make a pie." "Shall I also add brown sugar and a pack of butter to the list?" Teresa frowned, then checked the pantry. Sure enough, there was barely enough brown sugar to sprinkle into her palm, much less make a whole pie. There were also 2 sticks of butter left, though the pie would require 1. It made sense. The refrigerator, the pantry, all of it was connected to the smart home. She found herself nodding slowly. "Understood. Added to your shopping cart. Was there anything else you would like to add before I send the order for purchase?" Holmes said. "No, that's all. I can enter my debit card information, but I think that should be on file from when I signed. Actually, when you paid the deposit, part of that went towards setting up your own smart bank account, which has enough funds to purchase the groceries you have requested." Teresa paused. She wasn't entirely sure if she remembered reading that in the leasing terms, but she'd also been so overjoyed with having a place to live that she'd barely read through all the nuances that came with living in the complex. "Oh. How much is in the account?" "Your smart bank account has $382.53. It was more than she had in her regular checking account. The knowledge filled her with a gratitude she didn't realize she needed to feel. "Go ahead and place the order." Only a second later, Home answered, "Order placed. It will be delivered to the front door tomorrow at 7:16 p.m., to accommodate your 10-minute travel time from work." "Thank you," Teresa replied awkwardly. Was she supposed to thank a robot, a house robot? The order that arrived the next day was just as Teresa had wanted, and in the most perfect quantities she could have asked for. The apples were also plump and completely void of bruises. She unpacked the groceries, pleased with what the smart store could provide and grateful for the ability to shop without shopping. As Teresa emptied the container of boxed goods, her fingers grazed something firm. She pulled a package wrapped in black paper from the bottom of the container and took care to unwrap it slowly. As she did, out unfurled a thick black coat. She held it up for herself only to realize that it wasn't her size. "Home, did this get delivered to me by mistake?" I took the liberty of placing an order for a new coat for Naya during the grocery purchase, as I noticed you did not put in a request for one despite her current coat having holes in it. The neutral voice sounded so matter-of-fact, so rational, that Teresa felt she couldn't even argue with it. It was going to get colder, and Holm was right. She hadn't thought to add it to the cart, though she also had been considering her funds to be a lot stricter than what was in her smart bank account. She hadn't even considered that she could buy things that weren't food from Smart Store, though it wasn't like they'd given her a catalog or a website to look into. The only thing she dealt with was the online portal to pay her deposit and rent at the start, and even then, she'd set up online payments and never look at the site again. Was there a catalog for Smart Store there? Did it even matter if Smart Home would tell her what her Smart Bank balance was after every purchase? Ultimately, Teresa knew that regardless of how she could see every item for sale through her housing company, she didn't like the idea of random things showing up at her house. She knew the dangers of unexpected packages, and there was no way she was going to risk her daughter's safety. Not that she imagined something dangerous would appear in the complex. Rather, she just preferred knowing what to expect, if there was ever something to expect at all. "Please don't order things without my permission, Holm," Teresa said. "Understood." One morning, just before sunrise, Teresa jolted awake to the first sound of knocking she'd heard in what felt like months. She threw on a loose gray t-shirt and struggled her way into sweatpants as she approached the door. Wiping the crust from her eyes, she tried her best to fix her unseen face. She grabbed the door handle and cracked it open. "May I help you?" she asked, still groggy and raspy from being startled awake. There was nothing special about the man at the door. He was a little taller than Teresa, maybe 6 feet. His skin was rich in its darkness, which made the white hairs in his beard stand out. He wore a long black coat and carried a brown leather suitcase at his side. He reminded Teresa of one of the movie extras that would walk around in the background of an airport. "I'm Dr. Owosu, the on-call for the complex. May I come in? It's a bit chilly." Teresa found herself unable to say no. She moved to the side, allowing him to slip through the gap of the door and into the living room. He took off his pair of black shoes at the door, undid the top button of his coat, and stared at Teresa expectantly. "What?" she said, still trying to process what the man had said before coming in. "I received a report of someone being sick in the house. Is it just you here?" Dr. Owosu asked. Teresa frowned. "No one is sick here." "I received a report around 4 a.m. for a fever of at least 100.8 degrees, miss." In that moment, Teresa's blood went cold. "Holm, what do you know about this?" Without a moment of hesitation, Holm replied, "I recorded Naya's temperature this morning to be above normal, thus indicating a medical need. I also took the liberty of arranging a genetically similar doctor to come to the house for your added comfort." "You what?" It was all so much to process. Teresa could feel her face heating, her anger rising. This Smart Home, this fucking robot, how dare it record their temperatures and know their ethnicities and pretend to know them? Dr. Owosu looked from Teresa to the bedroom door closest to the living room. "Is that her room? May I check on her?" he asked. Teresa's stomach felt knotted. "My daughter isn't sick. I would know if she were." The doctor frowned. "But your Smart Home has recorded a temperature spike, so that means someone is at least not well. Please let me check on her." "Just let me check on her, please. I can't complete my report without a diagnosis." Before Teresa could respond, Dr. Owosu walked to the nearest bedroom door and cracked it open. He said something quietly, then opened the door fully and walked inside. After a few more seconds of processing, Teresa followed. The doctor was hovering just over Naya, who'd been bundled up and seemed to still be asleep. As she watched him there, Teresa felt confused. It was as if another parent had appeared and taken control of her daughter's life, as though she were no longer the one who knew her daughter best. After a couple of minutes, the doctor pulled Teresa outside of the room. Her fever is up to 101.1 now. He reached into his suitcase, pulled out a bottle of medicine, and forced it into Teresa's hands. I gave her a small dose of these for her fever. She appears to have some strain of the flu, likely just another bug going around in school. Give this medicine to her every 6 hours, or 3 times a day. I'll be taking daily temperature and symptom recordings through the smart home system to monitor. You don't need to do that, Teresa interrupted. I can let you know how she's doing myself. Miss, you didn't even know she was sick. Please, just let the smart home handle it. I don't want to get CPS involved over your negligence. She barely had time to process the comment before the morning visitor put his shoes on and closed the front door behind him. She stared down at the pills in her hand, then at her daughter's closed bedroom door. The sun was just barely peeking into the house, casting an odd orange light into the hallway that she hadn't been awake to see before. It was both beautifully calming and strangely uninviting. This was supposed to be her space, and yet she felt so foreign in it. She wasn't supposed to be up this early. She wasn't supposed to let strangers into her house. But she was supposed to know if her daughter was sick right down the hall. And she hadn't. But home had. The desire to curse, to spit out as much as she could at home, churned inside Teresa. As she flipped the pill bottle over again, she noticed that during the physician's visit, she'd bitten her right index fingernail down from perfectly manicured to a raw nub. Her nail-biting habit hadn't reemerged since she'd started training as a nail technician, well before Naya was born. She sighed. How unprofessional would she look with all of this stress? Perhaps she'd be able to fix the nail up before work. Home, what time is it? Teresa asked before realizing she'd asked. It was habitual, second nature at this point. It is 5:52 a.m., Your morning alarm is set to go off at 6:15 a.m. Shall I pause that for you? Teresa stared out the living room window and into the tiny polished yard outside. It was too late to go back to sleep now, not that she'd be able to. If anything, what she needed to do was call Naya's school to excuse her absence, then call out of work so that she could care for her daughter. She wouldn't have known that had she woken up later. In fact, she might have tried finding a sitter. But she couldn't bring herself to even consider that now. Sorry, I do not think I heard your response. Shall I pause your morning alarm? Fuck you, Teresa muttered. After a few months, Teresa's routine set in. Her day started with sending Naya off to school early, working at the salon for up to 12 hours, coming home and preparing dinner, watching a movie with Naya, and giving herself a bubble bath before bed to soothe the growing aches in her back. Now that she wasn't dishing out more than half of her paycheck to rent, Teresa found herself finally able to splurge and to save here and there. Eventually, she'd rerouted her paychecks to the Smart Bank, which had fewer fees and generally made shopping at the Smart Store easier. Teresa bought a tablet for Naya and new clothes for herself at half the price of what she would have paid anywhere else. Life was more comfortable this way. Though most nights were hard, there was still the occasional spurt of energy that kept Teresa going. One particular night, Teresa managed to get home early enough to prepare a feast for Naya's birthday dinner. Every other year, Teresa would ask her daughter what special things she wanted for dinner. Each year, it had been something different as the girl's taste buds evolved. Macaroni and cheese with pepperoni bits, shrimp cocktail like in the fancy movies, steak tartare except cooked because Naya hated raw meat. Each year brought a new challenge that gave Teresa the chance to further explore her daughter's growing palate. Teresa stared into the pantry, mentally calculating what would be possible with the food they had. Luckily, she'd gotten a bunch of different groceries in preparation for whatever odd request Naya might have. Baby girl, what would you like to do for your special dinner? I can make you anything you want. Teresa called into the living room, where Naya sat watching the latest episode of her favorite cartoon. I don't know, Mommy, Naya replied. From her tone, Teresa could already tell that her child was half listening. She walked into the living room and stood in front of the television, hands folded across her chest. Come on now, give me a challenge. What do you want to eat tonight? I can make anything you want. Naya sat still for a moment, staring at the ceiling and then around the room, as though she were searching for answers in the textures of the walls. "I really don't know." Teresa did her best to stifle a sigh of frustration. "Okay, well, I need to start something soon. If I make something and you don't want it, I'm not ordering any takeout or eating what we have here." Her daughter's wide brown eyes barely registered the half-hearted threat. "Okay." Only somewhat deflated in energy, Teresa returned to the kitchen. There was so much in the pantry, and after two quick taps on the fridge door to check inside, the possibilities seemed truly endless with everything at her disposal. At the same time, there was too much to choose from. She'd never had such a bounty at her disposal, and her late-night sessions watching Food Network until she fell asleep hadn't taught her enough to make something on the fly. Normally, she could just look up whatever Naya wanted and spin something close, but without an actual request to go off of, Teresa felt blank. The last thing she wanted was to make something they ate on any normal night. This was Naya's first birthday in their new home together. Why couldn't her daughter just pick something? "I am sensing that Naya is not sure what it would taste like, but wants to try ratatouille from the film you both watched last Monday." Holmes' voice, though always gentle, felt like an alarm blaring in Teresa's mind. It was like the AI read her thoughts, transcribed them, shattered them, and presented them back in her ears as something new. She found herself staring up at the speaker on the ceiling, speechless. "Oh yeah, make that, Mommy," Naya called from the living room. "Shall I preheat the oven to 375 degrees for you?" Teresa's heart sank, as though it were made of stone. Her body went numb as her mind screeched to a halt and revved up all at once. Everything had clicked the second Home had pinpointed exactly what Naya wanted for her birthday dinner. The complacency with her routine, the perpetual anxiety hovering in the back of her mind, all of it. As Home turned the oven on without her consent, and as Naya flicked through the channels while her cartoon was on commercial break, Teresa felt nauseous. She'd never had a choice about what to cook for her daughter's birthday. Home would have known exactly what her daughter wanted, no matter what her response had been. Because Home always knew what was going on, what they were craving before they craved it, when they were sick before they realized it, how they wanted to spend their time before they'd even considered their schedules. There never was a choice. Home was always going to know what to do, and it had been showing Teresa that since the beginning. What made it unbearable, though, was that Home knew Naya, her baby girl, better than Teresa did. A robot. And no matter what, Teresa couldn't turn it off. Home was connected to the house, and the house was connected to the store, and all of it was intertwined with itself to the point where shutting one down completely cut off access to all the others. She couldn't just turn Home off and pretend that she could live in the complex without it. Despite the hatred boiling inside her, she needed Home, because Home was taking care of them in every way possible. Teresa reached into the refrigerator and grabbed tomatoes, zucchini, and squash from the vegetable drawer. She never would have put the ingredients together on her own, but it didn't matter because ultimately she never had a say in the recipe. The choice was taken from her the second Naya couldn't say exactly what she wanted. No, not just that. All the choices. From how much Teresa had to work, to where she kept her money, to the doctor who appeared at her door with a prescription for her daughter ready before he had a diagnosis. It was all dictated by her smart home, by the smart bank, by the smart store and its prices, by the complex and the parent company in charge of it all. Teresa grabbed a knife and set to work chopping the vegetables into thin slices, just as Home knew she would be doing when she got off work. Hell, it probably knew the moment Teresa and Naya had watched the movie together last week. As she pressed the flat of her blade down onto a garlic clove, Teresa let out a small sigh. The true questions had popped into her head. She found her lips moving, her voice cracking as she asked herself, "When did my choices get taken away from me? Was it when I agreed to the lease? or when the ad showed up on my feed. The ratatouille will be ready in an hour, baby girl.
Thanks for listening to Asimov's Spotlight, a feature of Asimov's Science Fiction Magazine. If you liked what you've heard, consider subscribing to Asimov's. We're available in print and digital. And please stop by again next month to hear another exciting story chosen from our pages.